Reformed Church.
Just the fact that you can listen to the Lord, and just in that line of thinking of, you know, one thing being needful, and how Mary was just listening to Jesus, and how you can do one thing and really listen to the Lord. And when I say listening to the Lord, I don't just mean reading your Bible. That's something that, you know, the Lord's been, you know, reaffirming to me recently, is that, you know, even whether you're reading your Bible, whether you're not reading your Bible, or whether you're praying, or whether you're at church, or whether, like you have to listen to Him, right? Like, this is a person we're getting to know, and the person that we're fellowshipping with, and it's not, you don't fellowship with a book. It really becomes so dry and boring when the Bible becomes the person almost that you're talking to. Like, you know, it's like you go to the Bible, and you're referring to the Bible, but like there's a person that wrote the Bible. And granted, you know, there I'm not gonna go through all the purpose of Scripture, but of course we should read the Bible, and God will show us things from Scripture. But there's a person, though, that we have to get to know Him. So whether you're reading the Bible at the time, or whether you're just on a walk or praying or whatever you're doing, it's just like just to acknowledge Him and listen to Him, and because He's the one that speaks to you, right? You're gonna severely hinder your revelation of the Lord if you start getting into like consulting the Bible rather than consulting the Lord. And He'll show you things from Scripture. He absolutely will. But it's Him, though, you know, and it's such an important distinction. But in listening to the Lord, I've really just been enjoying the fact that, man, like the rest that comes from listening to the Lord, that we have such rest to think that your life, the plan of God for your life will just unfold if you listen to the Lord. And if you just do that, make that your focus, though, right? Not this thing that you do on the side, but when you set your focus on Jesus and you listen to the Lord, that the plan of God for your life, because, you know, God obviously has more for your life than you're experiencing right now. And that's evident because we can see the glorified Jesus. And we not only know what's ours when we look at the glorified Jesus and who we are, but we also know the power that's toward us. That means the things that are available to manifest through us when you look at Jesus also. We see our hope. That's why He's called our hope, even in Hebrews 6. Jesus and how He's entered into heaven is called the hope beyond the veil. And that means that it's when you look at Jesus, you also see what you can expect for your life in the future. And God has things in store for you that you can tap into, and He wants you to enter further and deeper into what you see in Him. But just to know that all those things can happen so automatically and restfully if you just get your focus on Jesus and really get to know a person, right? It's not about just, because the thing is, when you get into, I got to grow in my knowledge, so it starts becoming about just the Bible itself, just reading the Bible or just listening to a message. Like and then you lose sight of the person. That's why it becomes very boring and very, it becomes a formula or something. But if you fellowship with a person like Enoch, it says he walked with God. That's what you want, right? Noah says the same thing about Noah. He walked with God. He was a just man, and he walked with God. And it when you get to a point in your life where you say, no, Lord, I just want to walk with you. In everything that I of course, the Lord's always with you. But in everything that I do, I want to acknowledge you. I just want to do my day with you. And everything, every thought in my mind, I want it to be filled with you. And you know, this sort of leads me into this particular thing that I was thinking about, where people hear that sometimes about meditating on the Lord all the time and just fellowshipping with the Lord all the time. Make everything about the Lord. If you're watching a movie, make it about the Lord. Like meditate on Him during that, you know, and watch it with Him. And not that movies are always necessary, of course, but my point is whatever you're doing. But some people, when they talk about meditating on the Lord and being heavenly-minded and being mindful of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and having that mindfulness constant, there's that phrase, right, of being so heavenly-minded that you're no earthly good, right? And Colossians 3:1 tells us to set our affections, to set our mind on the things of above, you know, not the things of earth. And the reason why it says to do that is because it says that your life is hidden with Christ in God, meaning when you find out the things of heaven, you're finding out what you have. Your life is with Christ. Your life is in God, meaning what you see in Christ, what you see in the Father is what you have now. That's your life. And so that's why when the Bible says to be heavenly-minded, it's saying when you're heavenly-minded, you're learning about yourself. When you're mindful of Jesus, when you're mindful of the Father, you're being mindful of your family, the things that you can relate to, right? So that's all good. But then again, people get this kind of idea that like it's sort of head in the clouds and you're not being attentive to things around you, or you're not, you know, being any earthly good, as the saying goes. But I just want to share something real quick with you about that from 1 Corinthians 2. And 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. And it says, now, in 1 Corinthians 2, 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. That right there, I could go into that further, but that's proof right there that the things that we have from the Lord aren't just automatically seen. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have to reveal them to you, right? They're things that are unseen at first and then can manifest, right? So this is talking about being spiritually minded, the Holy Spirit teaching you about the things that you have in Christ. And we do need to be mindful of who we are in Christ, be mindful of the spiritual realm, of the unseen realm, which is a whole side of things that people don't acknowledge, and that's sort of like being heavenly minded, right? Being mindful of the heavenly things, the spiritual things that we have on the inside of us that we've been freely given. And again, because they're not visible at first. That's super important. And so verse 13 says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, or rather, better translated, judging together, or judging spiritual things with spiritual. That just basically means if you want to be able to discern spiritual things, you're going to need a spirit to tell you about it, right? The Holy Spirit's on that side, so he already sees who you are in Christ. He you know, it's very apparent. So you need to judge spiritual things with someone who's spiritual, right? You need someone spiritual. So I could teach longer on that, but that's what that's talking about. The word comparing means judging together, discerning together. So anyway, point is, he's talking about being spiritually minded here, right? Being mindful of what you have in Christ. And it says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Again, spiritual mindedness. So already, I just have one more verse to read to you after this, but already you can see that he's talking about being heavenly minded. And again, like I was saying before, just carrying that with you all the time, being mindful of the Lord, being mindful of him, his presence with you, and walking with him, and just always having your mind there. Well, people's mentality about that is like, well, how can I be spiritually minded? Like, aren't there, you know, on one hand, things to do on earth? And then also, again, people have the head in the clouds perception of being spiritually minded. But actually, in all the spiritual mindedness that he talks about here, in verse 15, it says, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This word judge is not talking about judge like condemning. It's talking about like discerning, judging something, being able to judge or distinguish or discern something, understanding something. So when he says he himself, meaning talking about us, he himself is judged of no man, that means that no man, no natural man can understand you, is actually what that's talking about. No natural man is able to understand you because you're born of the Spirit of God, and no one can know the mind of the Lord. No natural man receives the things of the Spirit. No natural man knows the mind of the Lord, and therefore they can't know you either. No natural man can really discern who you are in Christ. But the part above there says, but he, referring to us, he that is spiritual, again, as he's been talking about this whole time, the one that's spiritually minded, knowing the things that we've been freely given, he that is spiritual judges or understands or discerns all things. So this is actually saying that when you're spiritually minded, this is so important, you are not spiritually minded at the expense of understanding earthly things. Actually, when you are spiritually minded and mindful of all things that have been given to you in Christ and mindful of the Lord, it says we actually judge, or we are able to understand all things. And that's talking about things heavenly, things earthly. So what it actually does is, when you're spiritually minded, it's not, again, at the expense of understanding physical things. Actually, it now, when you're spiritually minded and you know who you are in Christ and you know what Jesus has done and you're thinking heavenly, it actually allows you to put earthly things in context of that. And you actually end up seeing the truth of earthly things. So for instance, if someone's sick and you're not spiritually minded, you just see them as sick. And people think naturally about that. That people see tragedy, or people see a problem. If you're just naturally minded, you just see the problem, right? And you may see it as something that, you know, you can't get out of, or something that's very difficult, or something that's just a huge deal, right? But you're not really understanding that physical thing properly. Now, if you're spiritually minded, and you understand what Jesus did for that, you understand the victory that you have in Jesus and all the things that he fought for you on the cross and the things that are defeated now, and now that you're spiritually minded, you can look with your physical eyes back at that physical thing, and you're able to judge all things. It gives you discernment on that thing, and now you just don't see a problem. Now the Lord has put that problem in context. Because you were spiritually minded, you're now able to put earthly things in context now, which is why God is always asking us to be spiritually minded, to be heavenly minded. Again, it's not because if you're heavenly minded, you only ever sort of understand heavenly things, and then we sort of have to be, you know, silly or dumb as it's referring to earthly things, that like we just don't understand how things work in this world, and we just don't understand the world. So it's like, no, actually, it puts it in context. You are more discerning on physical things when you're mindful of heavenly things. It makes sense out of it. Again, for most people, they think problems in this world are such a big deal. And when you're heavenly minded, it puts it in context. And you realize what a big deal the Lord is in comparison with the problem. And now you're still aware of the problem, but because you're being mindful of heavenly things, when your eyes see a problem, the Bible says that we're not afraid of evil tidings. Someone gives bad news, you say, you know, it's not a big deal. I'm gonna see this manifest. Jesus did whatever it is in reference to that situation. Jesus did this for me. And so, you know, it's more if you're heavenly minded and you're mindful of who you are in Christ and you carry that around with you all the time, it makes you earthly good. And on top of that, as this says, it makes you discerning. You're able to judge all things, and it makes you discerning on all things. So I think it's an important point to make, because a lot of people almost put a cap on their mindfulness of the Lord, because, yeah, okay, I can be mindful of the Lord, but right now I have to be mindful of this right now. Well, actually, in whatever you're doing, if you're mindful of the Lord, you'll see that in context better. If you're working and you're mindful of the Lord with you, you'll understand the prosperity that you have for that task. You'll understand, again, that when you hit a problem, that it's not a big deal. You'll understand, for instance, when you make a mistake, if you're being spiritually minded of what Jesus did and you see your inheritance, you'll know that you'll bear in mind that you don't receive by your works, meaning that even sometimes we only apply that to sin, for instance, but let's say you make a mistake at your job. You just made a mistake. It wasn't sin. You just, you made a mistake in something you did. You mess something up. And now instead, if you were just being naturally minded, you think, oh, I made this mistake, it messed everything up, and now this is not going to come out good. Well, when you're spiritually minded, you can make a mistake and say, well, Lord, because I don't receive by my works, that means I don't have to expect the results in my life to be only in accordance with my works. The results in my life, you work all things out for my good. As long as I'm meditating on you day and night, Psalms 1 says that I'll prosper in whatever I do. That includes when you make a mistake. Again, if we make a mistake and we have to expect all our results to be all messed up now because we made a mistake, well, then you're just receiving by your works. Your results are no better than your own work. But we get results from Jesus' work. So you see what I'm saying? Like it helps you see everything in context. And everything's light. Nothing's a big deal anymore. Everything has a fix. And everything is seen in the light of Jesus. So I just want to submit that to you, that when he says those that are spiritual, spiritually minded, judge all things, being heavenly minded is a great thing, even when it comes to earthly things, especially when it comes to earthly things, in discerning those things, not to mention it prospers earthly things on top of that. So once you know that, it should just encourage you all the more to say, hey, I want to be heavenly minded. I want to be mindful of these things, and I don't have to like temper my heavenly mindedness. Like, oh, I have to like make sure I'm not too heavenly minded. No, you can just walk with the Lord. You can always be mindful of the Lord. And it'll help you see everything in context. And like I said before, I just want to end on just this one note, and that is that as you're heavenly minded, as you're being mindful of the Lord, that everything that needs to happen in your life happens just by the Holy Spirit. It sounds too simple to most people, but if people want to know, how do I fulfill the plan of God for my life? How do I get from A to Z? How do I get from here to where, you know, the Lord wants me to go in my life? It really is just by knowing him. And if you will press into knowing him even further, you'll speed up your progress even more. But be mindful, Lord. Listen to the Lord. And everything, all that transformation, all the plan of God, and all the things that he wants you to do, and places he wants you to go, and people he wants you to talk to, all that just really happens automatically by the Spirit. You'll just start having desires toward things that you didn't before. You'll start noticing you're compelled to be at the right place at the right time just by the Lord, and it's really not up to you. So
we hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.